Hello, and welcome to the Global Film Podcast, a weekly discussion of all things cinema. I'm your host, Diego Andaluz, and today I'm happy to be joined by Valerie Thompson, writer for The Playlist and Consequence of Sound.
Hi, hello.
And Alex Billington, editor-in-chief of First Showing.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Good, good. So glad to have both of you guys on here. So on today's episode, we'll be discussing Bob Odenkirk's latest star vehicle, Nobody. And this one's going to be coming to theaters on Friday, March 26th, and VOD at a later date. So let's delve right in. So what were your guys' thoughts on this one?
I would almost say obviously, but I loved it. But I loved it in the way that I was nervous that it would be a little wishy-washy. The director, Ilya Naishuller, his other film, Hardcore Henry, is a little bit intense, if you guys have seen it. And I was a little bit worried going in it would be too intense, but it's such a satisfying action film to me. It delivered on its like 90-minute promise of just making it fun and enjoyable. And I love seeing Bob Odenkirk kick ass. And it is, to me, I was worried that it would be too much of a John Wick, and it is a John Wick, but it is the father figure comes out of retirement John Wick, and not the dog owner John Wick that we've seen in the past. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed all that it has to offer and how much it brings you through the action in a like slick and enjoyable way. And it isn't jittery and isn't like too in your face. And I had such a great time with it. I really, really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. It's not something you're going to go into and have this very cerebral reaction and overthink it. It's just kind of a fun, mind-numbing almost. I think it's what was about 90 minutes, something like that. I think I clocked it at 90. And let's be honest, Bob Odenkirk. This is Bob Odenkirk's world, right? And we're just living in it. I love him in everything I see. And I went into this a little bit unsure of him as Hutch and ended up at the end just totally buying it completely, which is a testament, I guess, to him and more than me.
I went into Nobody kind of not sure what to expect. I had heard some good things, but it did seem like that type of film that could seem too derivative of John Wick and ultimately fall flat. However, after seeing it, I can say that I was fully impressed. It's definitely an action vehicle where that's the primary thing that it's going for, just like John Wick. And of course, it's one guy. But John Wick and Nobody are two very different films, even though at first they may seem very similar, because John Wick here, what it does is that it's very much framed through a dog and kind of more of a revenge mission. But what Nobody does here so well is that it involves family. It involves seeing his past life and kind of bringing that into the fold. And it's not something that, like, from the start you see, oh, Bob Odenkirk is a definite action protagonist. I know that the trailer even plays with that, where a lot of people, I'd say, even myself, before even hearing about this film, I would not immediately think of Bob Odenkirk as an action protagonist, like Keanu Reeves, like Liam Neeson, in terms of that vein. But what this film does very well is that Bob Odenkirk knows how to play the suburban family dad, as well as that rough and gritty action star, so well that the film takes you through that transformation at the beginning. And then the rest of it is just a super incredible action thrill ride. Again, towards the end, it kind of abandons any like character development or focus on the family and kind of trades it for more of just a plain action thriller, which I know a lot of people will love. Again, it's not a film that reaches for the stars in terms of ambition, but for what it's trying to go for, it works great.
Yeah, you're so right, Diego. And I loved in the first half when he was first getting into these fights, he wasn't ready to get into it yet. You kind of saw him like get beat up a few times because he's still sort of getting back in the fight mode again. And I thought that was a cool thing to show, you know, to give us a chance to not just immediately believe he's this like superheroic action guy. And we had a couple of beats to see him, oh, like he hasn't been fighting for a while. Now we get to, and it also played into the mystery of like, who really is he and why isn't he the polished guy we usually expect right now? And then of course, as it plays out, you're like, oh, I get it. And he gets better and better as it goes on. And as he gets, I guess, more angry as he fights more of these guys and sees what they're doing. And of course comes after their family. And well, that's all I'll say for spoiler territory, because there's some really cool stuff in the end of it that I was so happy to see. It's almost cheesy to see where they were going with it at the end, but at the same time, I really thought it was so satisfying to see that happen. And I think you guys, like me, we're all movie fans and we're kind of just like, hey, you know what? This is fun to watch that happen.
I think that's one of the key points of this film. It's just fun. It's not beating you over the head with some kind of message. It really is just mindless, I guess would be the word I'd use. It's just kind of mindless fun for an hour and a half or whatever. And I think something else, if there is anything else to be explored, the kind of underlying thing, and maybe Bob Odenkirk's the reason why, but it kind of challenges, what do you think is an action hero or what we conceive as a lead action star in a movie? And I think this is a really intriguing concept about what we think in terms of age, in terms of gender, and what we look for in an action hero. And I think Bob Odenkirk was brilliant casting because, as I said before, you just don't really instantly, when you think action star or action hero or whatever, but you don't think Bob Odenkirk, but yet he is absolutely perfect by the end of this movie.
Yeah, for sure. And then another one that, like, again, I wouldn't expect this casting, but looking back, it was genius. And I don't think this has been really advertised heavily in the trailers from what I know. Like, going into this film, I was actually surprised to see him there, is that of Christopher Lloyd as, I believe, Bob Odenkirk's character is Hutch's dad. It's not really a spoiler to say this, but he kind of starts off as a little bit like a mild mannered, just like grandfather, like your grandfather to Bob Odenkirk's kids. And you really don't expect much from him apart from just some words of wisdom. And then he just turns into a completely different character. And it brought a smile to my face every time he was on screen after that kind of transformation was revealed. Because he delivers some sequences as well that, like, if this hopefully franchise keeps on developing, I'd love to see him come back and become kind of a more central character, because that would just be truly amazing as well.
I almost feel like since this was written by one of the John Wick creators and produced by one of the John Wick creators, I kept thinking to myself, I think they're almost feeling what I'm feeling, which is I'm a little tired of John Wick after 3 movies. Not that they're not good movies, but it's kind of like, hey, instead of making John Wick 4 through 10 now, I'm glad to see almost, hey, let's do something new with a new character and yet kind of play on the same kind of action ideas, setting up the sort of mythology of it too, with RZA's character being the voice in the background that also, you know, kind of like, hey, how does he play into this? Maybe it's just because I prefer not seeing 50 sequels, but I like that it's kind of like, hey, we know John Wick kicks ass, but let's do something new and kind of also borrow that same sort of formula. But Diego, as you said, not do the same thing and have differences and give us something new. And it's just so enjoyable in that way that it's not the same. And yet we still get to follow the Odenkirk character on now. And I mean, it's so satisfying in that way, because I've seen enough movies that aren't satisfying action movies, or that kind of fumble their big moments with too much CGI or too much kind of like, oh, you know, bullet through the head moments. And this just sticks to the core of like how intense actual and how visceral actual fighting and violence is, in almost like in an extremely brutal way at times. But that's part of how these action movies work.
Yeah, because I do feel that in a lot of movies like John Wick, you have, of course, the action hero basically being invincible and, of course, getting a few scratches here and there, but never really experiencing that much true pain. Yeah. And here, nobody, for instance, like the bus scene, which has been heavily advertised. And the thing is, in the trailers, it kind of does seem like if they're playing it as like, oh, this kind of invincible action hero. But when you watch it in the film, there's parts where he gets shoved, there's parts where he gets beat down, and for a second there I'm like, oh, like maybe is this one of those ones that's going to end badly for him? Because it is a film that does kind of treat it with a little bit more realism and shows you that even though this man might be like an incredible action hero, again, he's worked for the government in the past, there's still moments where he does get beat down and he does suffer a lot of injuries, and it does play that into the rest of the film as well. Like, again, he comes home with severe injuries, and like even in some of the interrogation scenes, again, he's like totally beaten down, and it's not like John Wick where he's just like, oh, just some minor things, then he's able to go free. The action does have like a push and pull that I haven't seen in a lot of movies in recent years that like traverse that action genre. And then the other thing that I do want to mention is the way in which it kind of traverses moments just full of action and moments that are like more character based. It gives you a look into his family. There's a lot of films that maybe don't provide that balance quite well, but here I think it does a good job structurally. Like, first, it starts off with kind of just his family life, what he does on normal days. And then as the movie progresses, we see less and less of his family life and more of kind of these action sequences. But it's not just a 180-degree shift. Like, it gradually changes from scene to scene as the family scenes get shorter and the action scenes get longer. And that is something that I appreciate as well, because a lot of these films don't know how to balance that in the structure. They don't know how to balance that in the tone. But I think this film does that quite well.
I think one other aspect that, you know, you were hitting on was about the family, the use of the family in the movie. I've heard several people relate this to the kind of structure of a film like Death Wish. And I think that's really unfortunate because the family in this case are not being violated or treated in such a way. And this is certainly not a situation like Death Wish where, you know, the family is murdered and go through very, you know, bad things. So I think that comparison to Death Wish is very wrong and very unfair to both movies. The only thing that I think people are seeing in that comparison is the father somehow standing up for a family that's been violated, torn apart, destroyed, and I don't, nobody is not that at all. So, you know, that's my thought on that comparison. It's just a really unfortunate comparison for this film. And speaking about the realism that we were talking about, I was really impressed by the realism of the fight, the bus fight especially. It doesn't mind being a little bit more gritty, a little bit more realistic, and certainly not choosing completely style over substance. And I think that was something very interesting, and I'm glad they explored that.
I was just going to ask what you two thought of the villain. The Russian guy who's not really the bad guy, but is the bad guy. Like, he's just a handler for the bad guys, but he's also the main bad guy. I was just curious what you thought of his role in the film and that aspect of it.
I think that's an aspect where I'm a little bit conflicted on it, because I feel that even though kind of how they introduce him is pretty smart, and it does give his character, I think, an extra dimension, where again, one of the people who Hutch bodies in the bus fight sequence, and severely injures, ends up being kind of the main antagonist's brother. But I think apart from that, he is a little bit of a weak villain in terms of like characterization, because again, you do have him and you see that he's a party animal, that he does have a personal connection to what's going on. But apart from that, he just seems like your standard Russian mobster. And as the film progresses, you see less of his personality popping through and more of him just being, okay, the standard Russian mobster bad guy that you might be seeing in like a 90s action movie 5-10 times a year.
I found the correlation for me was like, it was very much structured like the villain in the first John Wick film. You know, you're not getting these very layered depth of this person. It's very shallow. It's just something that, you know, audiences, I think that's what they were going into it thinking, okay, this is something very easy for audiences to understand. We're not going to go too deep. We're not going to go too far into this, but we're just going to keep it right on the surface with this guy. You know, you'll know everything you need to know pretty quickly. I think that was what they were trying to go for, at least.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with what we were talking about, this Russian villain. The only interesting moment to him for basically a brief second is when Odenkirk offers him that chance to say, hey, you have the way out now. You have a chance to escape. Like, I've burned all the money that wasn't really yours, but was your nest egg. And now you can choose. And I know it was like a, I don't want to say cheesy, but like an obvious kind of script, you know, aspect to put in there where you're like, hey, we'll offer the villain a chance to redeem himself. And he doesn't. And he chooses, you know, vengeance and to keep going, which is like obvious, like, okay, they got to play the villain that way. And of course, they couldn't just end the film at that point. But that to me was the only most interesting part of his character. Like, hey, you know, and I know it would have been wrong to see him walk away because, like I said, you can't just end the film at that point. But that was the only thing that I was thinking about when you two were talking about this sort of shallowness of his character and that he doesn't have much to offer, and that they gave him a tiny bit, but it didn't really go anywhere with that, beyond that aspect of it.
I think for me, the most interesting part of this film is actually in the first act of it, and ultimately the plot point that kind of sends us into this whole story, is that him confronting the robbers. I was struck by that, and you know, him not doing anything, or what his son feels is more of a cowardly act or whatever. And his wife feels like, oh, you know, you just totally dropped the ball. And his father-in-law and his brother-in-law, and, you know, and I found that just really fascinating because it's how I think, you know, I think it's how we view masculinity and ultimately view our action heroes, right? And our heroes. Oh, well, you should have, you know, stood your ground. You should have attacked those guys. You should have done all these things. And he's really chastised for it. And, but, you know, we find out as we go along, he absolutely had the power to, you know, just demolish these two guys, just ruin them. But he did it. And the fact that especially the male characters around him in the film and his wife treat him as less than a man because you didn't do anything about this, I thought was not a trope that I've seen really used in action films. And just a really fascinating way to kind of segue into what you think you know about this character and what ultimately leads him on this path to, you know, show more and more about who he really is or really was.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think it's a commentary also on the idea of the initial robbers are doing it out of desperation and that need to survive. And he notices that. But then the people who come after him later are people who have everything, who have tons of money, who are just doing this out of evilness and out of a desire to ruin him. And that's sort of a different observation he gets. Like you said, instead of just beating up everyone he can because he can, the recognition that he has a difference in who he chooses to attack just because they attacked him is something that's core to who he is as a character, which I think, like you said, is really a really smart thing for them to put into the script beyond just, oh, he's a badass guy who can, you know, beat up anyone.
I found it really interesting how, again, most action movies will probably introduce their antagonist or their opposing force pretty early on in the film, or at least have it be incorporated in the kind of origin or the change in the central character. But here what they do, which again is very smart, is that, okay, so he goes after the robbers, right? And then he realizes the position of desperation that they're in. And then the reason that even the antagonist gets involved is through his own fault and through just a need for him to kind of show this anger, right? And if he hadn't making the choice there to stand up for the woman on the bus, but also like for himself in terms of coming to terms with his own masculinity and like what he's capable of, by doing that, I think what happened there is that that's what introduced the villain. And so that was also something that I was intrigued to see, where it's not a villain that's introduced right away or that plays into his quote unquote origin, but just a consequence of the violent path that he goes down.
These are all great points. The only other thing I want to say is just that I loved seeing Christopher Lloyd get in the mix at the end. It was kind of a surprise for me. I mean, like, I knew he was obviously a badass given the kind of hints throughout. And then seeing him, because this is my concern, was like, okay, they're going to put Christopher Lloyd in. He's going to shoot some guns. But they did it so well. And you actually like believe it. You're like, man, he's kicking ass, you know? And I just love seeing him get in that mix and just like participate. And then I don't know if he's going to be around for the sequels, but it clearly kind of hints that he might be, which is cool. So bring it on. More Christopher Lloyd taking down bad guys, the better, right?
After his job. I absolutely agree, Alex. More Christopher Lloyd beating up the bad guys. I love it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, for sure. You've done all your time travel. Now this is your mission, is to save the world from assholes. So
let's do it. Would you guys like to go around and kind of just give your final rating out of 10 for Nobody?
I would give it a 9 out of 10, much like I gave John Wick. I'm very lenient with my ratings, so don't give me crap over my but I enjoyed it that much, let's just say.
I think I'm gonna go with Alex. Let's do a 9. This was a fun movie, and I love Bob Odenkirk, so this was perfect for me.
And I'd have to be giving it a 7, which again, I really wasn't expecting it to like give it an actual like a semi high rating. Like, it's solid for me. Again, it's not like a film that necessarily tries to like reach for the highest ambitions or stuff like that. So that's what I normally give to films. They kind of just truly try to reach for the highest bar possible. But this film, even though it doesn't reach for that high bar, it's still very comfortable in what it tries to do. And for that reason is that I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. So that's it for this week's episode of the Global Film Podcast. So where can we find everyone on social media? Alex?
I'm on Twitter at First Showing and on Letterboxd at First Showing.
And Valerie?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and my username on both is Val, VALMTHOMPSN.
And you can find me personally at The Diego Andaluz, and that's ANDALUZ on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd, as well as the podcast at Global Film Pod and all podcasting platforms. Thank you everyone for coming on board. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to rate, subscribe, and follow us to be notified when the next episode comes out.